Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to The Whisker Report. We're a podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or running a for-profit pet business, get some PR, visibility, and buzz for what you do. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, the host of the show. I am the principal and founder of Whisker Media, a pet public relations firm based in Buffalo, Minnesota. I'm also joined by my fabulous producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark, how are ya?
Hi, Mary. I'm good. Nice and warm here in Florida.
Oh, of course.
I see you have some fancy new glasses this week.
Yes. I haven't been wearing them as much, but I've decided I want to be a little bit more sparkly.
Sparkly. Good choice. Now your eyesight can finally match your personality.
Yes, because, you know, I came back from Global, which I didn't see you there, Mark, Global Pet Expo.
This is the first year we didn't go, and we've been going since 2010, but this year we just decided not to. That's all.
A lot of people asked where you were.
Oh, which people?
Do you know Maria and Jerry from USA Today? They were there, and they were saying, where is that other lovely couple?
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. Now, this year we just decided not to go.
Yeah, it was interesting because this is the first year I basically only had one client there. The others chose to either just do Super Zoo, the pet trade show, but because they felt like they weren't getting the ROI on trade shows, and it's also so expensive, right, to have a booth. So a lot of them just decided to do one. So we'll see what's happening. I sort of felt like it was a little bit quieter than usual, but then, you know, it's really hard to tell at these shows. Like, they're so big. Some people said it was busier than ever, and some people said, you know, they didn't see a whole lot.
We discussed this when we had Corey on,
right,
who runs their PR, that there isn't much for a media anymore. You know, the media room is smaller. There's no events for the media like there used to be, where everyone could get together and see each other. And, you know, you'd have to just kind of hope you run into somebody in the aisles.
Yeah. In fact, I noticed a huge difference. I mean, I would say 90% were pet influencers and content creators. There were very few media there. Which, you know, as a PR person, you're kind of disappointed. Like, Maria was really the only mainstream media there. I'm trying to think. Usually the Wirecutter from the New York Times, that's a section, it's all about products. They are normally there, and I didn't see them there. So it was a different show. It just felt like a little different. Although I did talk to Corey, and she said, no, the numbers are high. They sold out on all their booths. So I guess it just depended what you were up to there. But I had a...
They haven't had, like, celebrities like they used to. You know, we used to go to try to get good interviews with celebrities. And speaking of celebrities, I'm sure you saw we just had Valerie Bertinelli on Catitude.
I did. Oh, my gosh. That's so exciting.
Talking about her cats. She was really fun and really, really nice.
Oh, well, we love Catitude. If you haven't heard Catitude, it's hosted by Michelle Fearn, who is also the lovely wife of Mark. And it's a wonderful show. And it's like, is it your most downloaded show, too?
It is. It's the number one cat podcast in the world. It is.
Wow. Well, we're really so excited to always be part of Pet Life Radio each and every week, because you can do PR for yourself. And Mark and I are going to help you every single week. Now for the good stuff. Our guest today brings a sharp eye for storytelling and a deep understanding of how brands connect with audiences in meaningful ways. As business development manager at BrandPoint, Sarah Blood helps organizations craft compelling content strategies that inform, engage, and inspire. With a strong pulse on media trends and a passion for impactful communication, she plays a role in bridging the gap between brands and the people they serve. Please welcome Sarah Blood. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Mary and Mark. It's great to see you today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you are also right in the midst of a staycation. So we want to thank you for coming on the show, even though you're technically not on duty.
Oh, that's okay. I love to talk about ways that pet people can get their brands out there. And pets are near and dear to my heart, being a pet parent myself.
Yeah, so Sarah has a background in pet PR as well. So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I currently work at BrandPoint. We're also in Minnesota, in Hopkins, Minnesota. So we partner with a lot of brands, both agencies and directly with companies, to support their products and services in raising awareness and engagement. But I actually started off as a reporter. So I was a daily newspaper reporter up in International Falls, Minnesota, when there was the International Falls Daily Journal. So basically the opposite end of the earth, Mark, from Florida. So if you get to the point of Minnesota, you're almost there. But yeah, we had a weekly creature feature. So I used to cover the animal that was up for adoption that week and actually adopted one of my first cats, Sasha, through that. That's the worst when you are writing about pets up for adoption and then you end up adopting them, right, Mary? We have a little bit of experience there.
Yes.
And then worked for a Twin Cities weekly newspaper in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then decided to make the move over to a PR agency. So I was very fortunate. I got to work at Carmichael Lynch Spong, which is part of Carmichael Lynch for pet people. Carmichael Lynch is probably the most famous for doing the Subaru commercials. And so I got to work on a lot of different fun pet accounts over the years, everything from the Petco Chihuahua races that we held in New York City and at the Petco Park in San Diego. I got to work on a lot of like pet care products, Merrick Pet Care when they launched their dog food. So it's a lot of fun, different things over the years. And then eventually moved over to becoming a freelance PR person, worked with a lot of nonprofit organizations, including pet organizations, and then most recently moved to BrandPoint, which I can't believe I've been here 4 years. But what's really fun and a lot of people get a chuckle out of is I was a client of theirs for 20 years before I joined. So a lot of times I was the first client that people who were hired got to meet. So I got to be their guinea pig in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's awesome. So explain to us. Oh, by the way, so I met Sarah through Maria Rattan, who was my boss when I was in TV news. And Sarah, you worked with her at Carmichael Lynch as well, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. She said, there's a person that you need to meet. I just know you two are going to hit it off. And sure enough, I think we met for like coffee and that ended up being lunch and then like another hour after
Yes.
that. And then, Mary, you probably remember you helped me with a rescue during the pandemic. So I had seen a
Yes.
dog get picked up by the police. And it was just the saddest story. It was a dog found in a grocery cart behind a convenience store. And I reached out to Mary because I knew your organization was loosely affiliated with the situation. I said, I know those Jack Russells are hard to adopt out. And she was a senior. And I said, if I can help in any way, let me know. And sure enough, Maggie's been with us 5 years later.
Yes, exactly. I remember that. And I remember it was just so, who would leave their senior Jack Russell in a shopping cart at, was it, which store was it at Target, right?
It was
Or
Walmart,
Walmart.
yeah, in Coon Rapids.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And we talked to Maria on this podcast a few episodes ago, and that was about the TV news business. The,
Oh,
you
that's a
know,
great topic. Yep.
yeah, she kind of revealed some of the down and dirty secrets of news judgment. Yeah. So tell us more about BrandPoint. Like, we were talking earlier, and it's not a PR firm, but it's not a marketing firm. It's kind of like a, you said, a partner firm.
Yeah, so we partner with a lot of organizations. We like to be the extension of your team. And a lot of teams nowadays, the reality is they're working with less budget. As you just mentioned with Pet Expo, there's fewer media to work with. And so we're trying to help clients get their message out in a couple of different ways. So, what we primarily do, what we're traditionally known for, we've been around for 30 years, by the way, so we've been doing this for a while, was digital content distribution. So what we do is we help you create an article, or you can provide us an article, video, listicle, infographic, and we can distribute it through our publisher network. So we have partnerships with some of the biggest publisher sites, but we also work with a lot of small and mid-sized markets too. So we basically can distribute that content because it's paid placements. You don't have to worry about the paywalls that often get in the way of placements. And then we have other things we can do to help you, including engagement. So it kind of answers the question, okay, great, you got me all these placements, but what did it get me? Who actually saw this? Mm-hmm. So we do that through display native advertising through our publisher network. And then more recently, we are now working with clients on AI visibility, and that could be its own topic for a show. And we do that in two ways. One is through optimizing your content and monitoring, as well as earned content, because earned is still very, very important when it comes to building credibility and why PR is so incredibly important. So, but yeah, they're a great company. We still work with a lot of writers who are former reporters, or we have one writer who's a screenwriter. So we have these great writers and they can write on any topic. And then we work with a lot of great publishers, including Hearst Publications. So you're looking at like SF Gate. We work with New York Daily News, Chicago Tribune, Miami Herald, as well as a lot of smaller newspapers and online news sites throughout the country.
Yeah. So does it come across then? Does it say sponsored content?
Correct. Yeah. So it does. Okay. It is labeled as sponsored content. That's a federal requirement. So whenever you're sending out a message that is commercial and it's paid for, so that could be a press release that you send over the wire, what we call our service traditionally is a MAT release. So MAT releases, back in the day when I was a newspaper editor, if I had space that I had to fill because we didn't sell enough advertising, or maybe I didn't have enough papers, articles written, I would then go to these services like BrandPoint and pull content. So I might see a great article about five ways to take care of your new pets, and then use that to fill the space in my publication. But obviously, a lot of publications have gone online, but they're still looking for ways to monetize. So we pay our publishers to publish our content. And in exchange, we provide them with credible, highly edited material that meets their criteria as well. So we're kind of bridging the gap between clients that are underserved in terms of not having enough publications or media opportunities, or maybe they exhaust their media opportunities and they're trying to get in front of new audiences, but also supporting publishers as well.
Okay. So yeah, I think a lot of people, when it says sponsored content, they didn't quite know what that means. So would you say sponsored content is just another form of advertising, but it falls under PR?
Well, what PR is looking at now is not being as siloed. There was a day and age when I worked in PR, and if someone asked me to look at something paid, I'd be like, no, that's not what we do. We do strictly earned. But then I think things have obviously changed. Jeannie Dietrich really put on the map something she created called PESO. And PESO stands for paid, earned, shared, and owned, because it's basically there's this universe now that we have to feed with content, either on our websites as brands, social media, owned. So that's owned is websites, shared is social media, earned is the placements that either you're securing or you have someone like Mary securing on TV stations and local radio or newspapers. And then now there's the paid component too. So I think paid loosened up quite a bit for PR people for a couple of reasons. One is fewer media opportunities. Two, as we know, in the zeros, it was working with bloggers. And sometimes you would throw a blogger a bone and give them $100 to write about a product they wouldn't necessarily write about. So you had something to share either on your website or on your social channels. So it's really, PR has really evolved to managing that whole universe for your brand. And it's not only just what you put out there, but it's also what's coming back in the terms of feedback from comments on your social channels to, you know, what you would receive, you know, if someone came in through your pet shop and said, hey, I really think you should start carrying this product. So it is definitely a bigger universe to manage and more diverse, that's for sure. And so we help in terms of like paid, obviously, with the placements. We help with earned because we can promote your content now to editors for potential earned pickup. And that isn't necessarily labeled as sponsored content. They see it enough as credible and newsworthy mm-hmm. enough that they can publish it without the label. And then there's also, you know, AI is changing how people search. So a lot of times people are looking for answers to questions and they never go to a website. They're going to AI to answer questions. And so our content is there because it's being published on third-party trustworthy sites. It's being found on numerous sites because we're publishing on numerous sites. And so, yeah, it's a lot of different ways of getting your message out there. It's just, it's a little bit more diverse than how it used to be.
Yeah. So a lot of our listeners are startup businesses or they're animal rescues. How could they work with you? Like, what would be the best way that you could help them?
Yeah. A lot of times we work with companies when they kind of exhausted all their other options. So with a company, I would see us working more with like a pet brand, not necessarily a rescue, because we can publish statewide, regionally, or nationally. So a lot of times our reach is too big for like a local rescue, but for a brand that maybe they did do Super Zoo and they did do the trade publications and they're realizing, gosh, it's really hard to get a story in my local newspaper, let alone national newspapers. We don't have like the reporters that we used to have. Like, I miss those days because every newspaper had a pet reporter. Every market had its own little local pet publication. And sadly, those days are gone. So it's trying to find different ways to get your message out there. So we can definitely be a resource. We do work with a lot of pet products. So we can do like for the smaller companies, we can do like a statewide distribution. A lot of times people work with us because they want to get into their local business journal. So that's a specialty add-on publication that we can work on. So we had a client recently, they're like, yeah, we really want to enter the Atlanta market, but we don't have anything there yet. So can you help us build awareness in that market? And that's something we helped with. The other thing that's really nice with Matt Releases is we can also do Spanish. So if you're trying to get into another market, I mean, we've seen the explosion of pet owners in the Hispanic market. We can help with that as well. So, but yeah, usually with pet products, and we've worked with a lot of dog food, a lot of pharma, a lot of pet supplies. It's, you know, figuring out, do we want to go statewide, regional, or national? Do you just want distribution? Great. Let me distribute your content. The great thing is we share live links to all your placements. Your placements don't have paywalls, so you can repurpose those links. It's kind of like Rumpelstiltskin. I always say, you got to turn your content into gold. So where else can you repurpose this content? The other thing that's really nice is we can create your content for you. It remains copyright free, so you can repurpose it on other channels. So I'm just like, Rumpelstiltskin your content, put it in your newsletter, put it in your email distribution, share those links on your website, do all the things that you can do to make sure that you're repurposing that content so that it turns into gold. And then the other thing we can do is drive engagement through native advertising. So with our engagement campaigns, one of our methods is with one of our publishers, we can actually guarantee benchmarks, which is great.
Oh, wow.
So we're looking at 3,500 engaged views. At least 1,000 of those engaged views, readers are spending at least 15 seconds with your content. So that's a great another metric. You know, I think it's when there's no guarantees in PR, it is very nice for, and it's kind of a relief for clients that work with us because we guarantee the benchmark on the engagement. But if you do a national distribution, we also guarantee a minimum of 800 placements. And we usually trend north of 1,000 placements. And then the specialty premium pubs that you can layer on, that's guaranteed. So with USA Today, Inc., it used to be Gannett. So that's like Detroit's newspaper, business journals, we can layer those on. And then it's kind of a mini built-in customer journey. So not only are we publishing your content on their sites, we're driving engagement, but then we share that reporting back to our clients. And with the USA Today pubs, they even include a companion ad so we can drive traffic to your website. So there's a lot of different ways we can support clients in getting their message out there.
That's great. So do you do earned media pitching for your clients as well?
It's not pitching per se, but it's something we traditionally did in the past where we would promote your content on a publisher. We had a site, Brandpoint Content, that editors could go to and download content. But now we are relaunching that website, which is great. So we're working with clients as kind of a push-pull strategy. And by that, I mean, we're letting clients know, like, it's spring, so this is a great time to talk about how to incorporate your pets in a wedding or how to plan for summer travel with your pets. So we'll tell them when our deadlines are for publishing those articles, and then we'll promote those articles on our website to our editors for potential download on their website or in their publications. So, and then we monitor for that, those placements as well. That's part of a newer product we're now offering called AI Optimized, because clients need to do a number of things to get their message out there to ensure AI visibility. So we help with that as well now.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, we have so much more we want to ask Sarah, but first we got to take a quick break.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with the wonderful Sarah Blood of Brandpoint. Sarah, a lot of people don't understand the difference between PR and marketing, or some people say PR is part of marketing. How would you describe that?
Oh, that's a great question. I had the opportunity after Carmichael Lynch to work in a marketing agency. I wanted to challenge myself with that because I wanted to see how PR fit in to the bigger picture. And I remember asking the CEO, like, what is the goal of marketing at the end of the day? And he said, sales. So you're going to find with marketing, it's a lot more metrics driven. They want to see the SEO results. They want to see like everything resulting in a metric that is something that can be measured and achievable. So I think PR was misunderstood and often maligned. I think about some of those episodes from the Mad Men days where Don Draper's like, oh, we're not spending money on PR. But it is, for me, the thing that I love about PR and why I always will be a diehard PR person, media relations person, is it's like one of the fastest ways you can get a campaign out the door. You know, you can oftentimes write a press release and send it to your trade publications and they'll get it on their website the same day if you've got the connections. And so for me, it's still a powerful way. But how do you measure that?
Yeah.
And that's why when I talk about making sure it doesn't die on the vine, that you Rumpelstiltskin your content, it's not only making sure that it's published on that trade publication, but then it's repurposed in your other channels to ensure that as many people as possible see that message. The big difference between that and earned placement and mat releases, and one of the main reasons why clients love working with us, is they have complete control. They determine what's in their article, where it's published, when it's published. a lot of times when I started out in PR, if I had a client that was nervous about earned placements because you don't have a lot of control, I would have them do a MAT release first, because the thing that was great about it is it answers the questions that they often ask, which is, can I see the questions ahead of time? Yes, we can do media training. I'm going to give you the questions, and then I'll work with BrandPoint to ask those questions. So we'll schedule a writer's call where we can have that writer ask those questions. And then, can I see the article ahead of time? That's another question you hear a lot from clients that are new to PR. And yes, you have complete control over your MAT release that we write for you. So you see the article, you don't have to worry about competitor mentions. You don't have to worry about, I mean, it still has to be a balanced, neutral article suggesting things. It can't be like the strong, like, you need to buy our thing and no one else's. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And there's still rules we have to follow and abide to. But they get to see their article and then they get to see it published. So when I go through that exercise with clients as a MAT release, they're like, oh, this is really cool. So then I've gained trust. And then I'm like, okay, we're going to take this a step further. Now we're going to do trade media. You're not going to see the article ahead of time. They might mention competitors, but I can still help you with preparing your interview ahead of time or anticipating what questions they're going to ask. And then slowly step them up to like a USA Today or a Wirecutter opportunity where you have less and less control. But by then, the hope is that your client trusts you enough that they'll like, I'll go anywhere. I'll go to the ends of the earth with you, Mary, because I trust you. So a lot of times MAT releases were my way of building trust because it gave them full exposure to the experience. And then as we worked with other publications, they realized we had less and less control and visibility, but hopefully I did my job and they did their job to set themselves up for success on an earned placement where they have less control.
Got it. I don't think people understand the control. I mean, everything you're talking about, all my clients ask me, like, can I see the questions ahead of time? Can I see the article before it goes out? No, no, no.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think that people get scared about when it comes to PR is we call it lack of control, but hopefully you've worked together ahead of time to put together your key messages, to know, to be media trained so that you don't go off course on an interview, that when you have a crisis situation, you're not just picking up the phone and answering questions, that you're managing what you hope to get out of a situation in terms of messaging and visibility. So it can be very scary for people when they first step into PR. But yeah, MAT releases are a great way to kind of test the waters and to build that trust between clients. Because we work with a lot of agencies, a lot of freelancers who are like, yeah, I'm working with this person. They're not quite ready yet for the earned media placements, but let's just start with a MAT release so they can kind of see the process.
Got it. So now I want you to put your big PR agency lens on, because you worked for one of the biggest in the country. So coming from your background and working with really big pet brands, the really big companies out of there, what's your advice to the little guys just starting out?
I think social is still where it's at. The most creative, fun things that I see are people that are like, you know what? Skip it. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be real. And there are some great animal rescue groups out there. I kind of see three people that come to mind with that in terms of like pet rescue. There's a real estate agent here in Minneapolis whose wife happened to work at Carmichael Lynch at one point. And then there's also a restaurant in Illinois that I'm thinking of, but they all have done the same thing. They've decided to be themselves and showcase their expertise through humor, if that's who they are, or through just being real. So this particular pet podcaster I've seen, I mean, she's a rescue first and foremost, but she'll talk about how the animal shelter in her community needs her to foster an animal. And this dog has been reported as a biter. And she just kind of relishes the opportunity to work with some of the most difficult cases. And she knows in a lot of cases, it might have been a misreporting, or this dog was misunderstood, or something drastically happened in this pet's life. And she really takes the time to learn the animal and to help just for it to feel safe. Because, you know, a lot of these pets go through the rigmarole. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but I think it's just being yourself on social media and people love it. Could start with just your friends and family going, oh my gosh, I had no idea that, you know, you did that for a living or that you had this passion project. And then it kind of grows slowly through word of mouth. And then maybe think about putting some money behind it. I think those are all really great ways to get your message out there. I still do pro bono work from time to time. This was not pet related, but I did do some earned media placements. And I also did some paid social for an event. And we surveyed the people who attended. We had way more people than we anticipated, which was wonderful. It was a great turnout. And the majority of them said they saw it through social media. So wow. And we only threw like, I think it's like $150 against it. So it wasn't a whole lot of money, but also know where your audience is, because you can't throw $150 on Facebook if you know your audience isn't there. So I think it's also figuring out where your audience is, if you're hearing like a lot of people are on WhatsApp or Instagram, but also kind of going out. The nice thing is a lot of these are connected. So you might find audiences in unexpected ways. Like, oh, I had no idea that Facebook had this many pet owners, you know, but I think if you're going to start anywhere, I think social is a great place to start.
Okay. That's great advice. I 100% agree. It's probably the most financially feasible for a startup, but we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to end the show with some parting thoughts from Sarah.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Sarah. Sarah, what is your advice to all the small animal rescues and the small pet businesses that are just, you know, kind of struggling to promote? They know they've got to promote their brand. They want to do PR. They want to do marketing. But, you know, it's like they're running the day-to-day operations of their business.
Oh, I can totally relate with that, running my own. I did PR consulting for 5 years. And there was an ad I saw last night that just made me laugh, because it was this business owner was being chased by a monster made of post-it notes. And it's like, did you invoice that person? Did you buy more pet supplies? It's so hard trying to fit everything in. But if you're trying to build awareness, it's really word of mouth. I'm thinking of this little pet store that we go to quite frequently, because it's independent, small ownership. And, you know, we asked them, like, what do you do for PR? Because we thought, maybe we can help them. And she's like, I don't have the budget for PR. But she has a newsletter. So when you sign up or buy something for the first time, they'll ask you to sign up on their newsletter. It's that punch card to get rewards and come back for more. It's maybe hosting nail trimming classes or nail trimming clinics. It's just trying to find different ways. What are your customers looking for? What are they struggling with? And how can you be there when they need something? It's being pet friendly, knowing that when you bring your pet in there, that they're going to be welcomed and they might get a free treat or something. and then, you know, just do what you naturally do. You know, you're doing the things already, you know, but then, like with this podcaster that I'm sorry, I can't think of her name. She just does little updates on social media from her car. You know, I'm in the parking lot of my local shelter. I'm here to pick up a dog, you know. And then the other thing is, you know, making sure you get permission to film things. I think she posts on her personal channel, but she also has a rescue channel site. So, you know, don't be afraid. to mix business if you feel comfortable doing that, because it's just another way to get an audience. But yeah, I think it's just trying to fit it in here and there. You start somewhere. You know, I think the biggest piece of advice as I'd have is, you know, I think the bigger question people often ask is, what if I fail? And I think my response to that is, what if you didn't even try?
Mm-hmm. I think Sarah Blakely, who's the CEO of Spanx, recommends people that they fail miserably multiple times, because, you know, that's the only way to learn. And here's the other thing. You can spend all day running your business, but if nobody knows anything about it or that it even exists, then what's the point, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just, and it's asking other people what are they doing? You know, I think that's the other thing, is you can be so isolated and in this bubble and, oh, I got to help this client today. Oh, I got to send these invoices out today. But I think sometimes just having that cup of coffee with someone, like last week, I introduced you to my sister-in-law. She's a vet tech and she really wants to start her own pet care business. And it's like, you know, you need to talk to. I think that's my favorite part of who I am as a person, is connecting people. Oh, you need to talk to this person because they're, and it was just, you know, I reached out to Stephanie and I said, how was your phone call? She was like, oh my gosh, it was like over an hour long. And and then she kind of shared her hopes and dreams with me. And I was like, that's fantastic, you know? And I think it's learning from other people's mistakes. Like, that was the first thing I did when I started my freelance, is I met with a lot of freelancers and I just said, you know, like, what's the one thing you would do differently if you were to do this all over again? And what was your biggest mistake? But also, like, what turned into a happy accident? What were some of the things that
you know,
were unexpected? And I think that's the other thing, is just reach out to your community. Don't look at them as a threat, and that I'm like, oh, I'm competing with this person, because there's enough room at the table. Pets is such a huge category and people are looking for different things, and you might be the right thing for the right person. And I think it's just reaching out to your own pet community and finding out what other people are doing. Like, I really admire your social media. How did you get that started? People love talking about that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just start with your own network, you know, and another business doesn't have to be pet, where you saw their social media or you saw their website and like, this looks great. How'd you do it? You know, I think a lot of people, especially in this digital age, are just afraid to pick up the phone. I hate to say this, but I still feel with PR, there's nothing better than meeting the person in person.
Absolutely. One of my dear, dear mentors, her husband was a professional NFL player and they started this nonprofit, and even she would get nervous, but she's like, well, the worst thing they can say is no.
Yep.
And I just, every single day, I take that to heart. Like, when I'm talking to clients, when I'm talking to influencers, well, the worst thing they can say is no. And oftentimes it has nothing to do with me, and that's okay, you know? And, but what if you never even tried in the first place? People are going to miss out on your brilliance, your expertise, your good heart, you know, trying to remember why did you start this in the first place? And, just sharing that with the world, you know, either through PR placements or social media or your newsletter or just talking to a customer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on the Whisker Report. How can people find you and BrandPoint?
Yeah, so we can be found at brandpoint.com. So that's BrandPoint.com. And I'm SBLOOD at brandpoint.com. Feel free to reach out. Love talking to pet people and happy to connect people too.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of the Whisker Report. We're so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are working each and every day to make life better for animals. If you have a question you want us to answer, reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future episode. So as we always say, bark loud and purr smart. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.